The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Robert Fisher of KGLO Mason City and John Dunson of the Outlook Monona. Robert, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Now that there's been another extension of voting, the government shut down, what needs to be done to fund the federal government instead of having continuing resolutions?
Well, if Congress is in session until December 15th, and it might be a little longer than that, then we have about 3 weeks. Yeah, that'd be about 3 weeks to pass in the House 5 of their 12 appropriation bills. In the case of the Senate, I believe it'd be 9 of our 12 appropriation bills. And then use the first couple weeks before January the 19th to have a conference between the House and Senate. And then fund government through the rest of the year. So that's just on the appropriation bills. On non-appropriation bills, I guess I'm not prepared to say what's going to come up. That's going to be Schumer's choice, and there might be some non-appropriation bills that'll be up. But I don't think it'll be anything that's going to be very controversial. Okay, next.
Senator, last week Congress extended the current Farm Bill through 2024. What is the next step for Congress, and what would you like to see in the new Farm Bill?
Well, the last part of your question, I suppose, be easier for me to answer. I want crop insurance to be left alone. I'd like to have a cap put on the amount of money that one farmer can get from the farm program so that we target it towards the medium and small farmers and that we don't have this game that's particularly in southern agriculture of units being split up among several different family members. So every family member can get to the limit that we have now, and that every one of those people that are involved in farming should be actually involved in the farming operation instead of sitting in Wall Street running not having anything to do with the farm. Then I'd like to see more money for foreign agriculture promotion of our exports. And then I would like to see some changes made to the CRP. Now, in regard to the first part of your question, I think I would say that I expect we've got January through July to get a farm bill done. And then you have the two presidential conventions, and not much is done in September and October in a presidential election year. So I'm counting on that being done. And if it doesn't get done by, let's say, August the 1st, then it's going to have to go to another one-year extension. And maybe on the positive side of getting it done in the first 7 months of next year is the fact that the chairman of the committee, Senator Stabenow, is retiring, and I think she's going to want a victory. But I've been saying that all year this year, and it didn't happen this year. So maybe that's not a factor, but I think it will be more of a factor next year. Okay, go back to the first guy.
Senator Tuberville continues to block military appointments, and some Republicans have said they may soon side with Democrats to change procedure and allow the approval of military appointments as a group if Tuberville doesn't let up. What's your stance on figuring out this military logjam situation?
Well, it's going to have to be figured out without my involvement. I do agree. When I say figured out without my involvement, it's being figured out by people within the Armed Services Committee and I don't serve on that committee, although I am going to be supportive of them getting Tuberville to reach an agreement, because I think the reason he's doing it, I agree with, that the armed services should not be paying for people to have abortions, because we've had a policy since 1976 that we aren't going to use taxpayers' money to pay for abortions. So whether it's Medicaid or whether it's armed services money, that's a policy I agree with. But him holding up about 300 or 400 advancements and promotions within the military, I think is not the right tool to do it with. Let's go to the second person.
Recently, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services issued a rule implementing initiative that you led way back in 2010, calling for nursing homes to disclose their ownership and management structure to CMS. What was your reaction to this rule?
The obvious one is, why, when you, first of all, I started working on this in about 2008. 2010, we get legislation passed that we ought to know who owns the nursing home. If it's an equity fund, we need to know it, because maybe if it's not local people, they're more concerned about the dollars than they are the service to older people. So the first obvious question is, in 2010, you passed legislation. How come it takes 13 years for the bureaucracy to issue the regulations? Well, we have the regulations now, and so there's going to be more knowledge we have of who owns nursing homes, and that's pretty darn important, isn't it, if you're going to have accountability. Okay, let's go back.
Yes, there's been some discussion by Democrats to create the conditions for future military aid to Israel. Does that need to be in place for Israel military aid, and do conditions need to be created for future aid to Ukraine?
I think it's just a matter of the dollar amounts going and conditions putting on Israel would be, I don't think they have a chance of getting it done. And so we ought to get the money appropriated. And I would support the appropriations for Israel, for Ukraine, together as one bill or separate bills. Because I think that there's so much at stake in each case. You can't expect the murderer that occurred on October 7th to be sanctified, and you can't, and we can't allow sovereignty of nations, which is violation of international law, to be bothered by Russia going into Ukraine. And if you believe in the rule of law and the following of those situations, you just got to stand by your principles. And so that's where we are. The next person will have the last question.
Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter passed away over the weekend. You would have been serving in the House when President Carter was in office. Did you ever get a chance to work with Mrs. Carter? And if so, what are your memories of her?
Well, my memories are all good about her. But I never worked with her on issues. I would have been with her at social events. And my memory goes back to maybe 10 or 15 years ago when former President Carter invited me to Atlanta to visit with a Southern Baptist church convention or seminar or something like that, but it was a big event that I was invited to speak at, and I had a chance to talk to Rosalynn and him at that particular time, and it was quite a joyous occasion for me, and I forget just exactly what the convention was about. I think it must have been involved with bipartisanship or lack of partisanship or leadership of statesmen in promoting freedom of religion, whatever it was a notable experience for me being there with the ex-president. And I'll just end by saying that I think what she needs to be remembered for, now this would go back probably 10 years after they left the presidency, unless she started this when she was first lady, but she got highly involved in promoting interest of our country in the mental health problems, which we still have now, but would be a lot worse now if it hadn't been for the leadership of Rosalynn Carter. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Robert and John, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.